So after Malaya Dwaj, the pure devotee and powerful king had departed from this world, what was his realization? Does anyone remember his realization? Yes. And he was not his body, nor was he the super soul. Because there is a tendency, when one realizes oneself, one's not one's body, that one is not the body, there's a tendency to identify with the all-pervading spiritual energy of the Lord, to think oneself that tat tamasi. And it is true that all living entities, all souls, are that energy. And most spiritual paths, almost all, and most religions, almost all, they lead one, or they are attempting to lead one to an impersonal realization, an understanding of one's oneness with the Supreme. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he acknowledged the oneness, but also the bhed, the difference. Achintya bheda bhed. Simultaneously one and different. And the followers of Mahaprabhu, or the followers of the followers of Mahaprabhu, they emphasize the difference while acknowledging the oneness. They emphasize the difference because that is better for rasa, or relationship with Krishna, or sambandha, we'll say. It's better for one's relationship with Krishna to think oneself different from Krishna, but in fact, no one can possibly be different from Krishna, because Krishna is the absolute truth. By definition, the absolute truth is all-inclusive. It includes everything. There is nothing external to the absolute truth. There is nothing external to Krishna. Nothing, including the living entities, are separate from him. But in the relationship with Krishna, although the living entities are tiny, we're so tiny. Raise your hand if you feel tiny. Yeah? You feel tiny today? Not enough. How tiny do you feel? It's about this big. But actually, we're not even this big. And we're not even that big. We're not even that big. If one takes the tip of a hair and cuts it in 10,000 parts, 100 parts, sata, yes? And then cuts one of those 100 parts, the tip, how can you cut a tip even? It's a point. Point, by definition, has no length and breadth. But yet, if you do that, and then cut and take one of those 100, or is it it's 100, right? And then cut that into 100 pieces, not pieces, but divide it. That is how tiny and insignificant we are. And yet, we think we are very important, we think we have very big problems, we think we can do very big service even. We think we are not worthy of any neglect. But we are so tiny. So that tiny soul has to take shelter of something, some energy of Krishna. So by taking shelter of the Maya Shakti of Krishna, then one is allowed to think oneself very great and powerful and big, even a big devotee. And Mahaprabhu would not allow any distinction if one says big devotee, this one's a big devotee and this one's a little devotee, he considered that aparad, because after all, we're 1/10,000th the tip of a hair in size, so tiny. So if one takes shelter of the material energy, Maya Shakti, Then one is in the material world thinking he's very great and powerful and the center of everything. And if one takes shelter of the internal energy, the antaranga shakti, then one thinks what? Beginning that he is insignificant, and then what else does he think? Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. How can I please you, Krishna? How? Always that thought is going on because of his incredibly deep affection for Krishna. He's just thinking how to please Krishna. So, Malayadwaj had realized his relationship with Krishna, and his wife, whose name was Vidharvi. Now, it's interesting, at the end of this chapter, there is a glossary of terms, because this chapter used many words that have other meanings than the direct meaning. So, Vidharvi, if we look in that, which is on, in my book, it's on page 677, it's the woman who was formerly a man, but took the birth as a woman in his next life. What man was he formerly in the story? Paranjana. Because of too much attachment to woman. Darbha means kusha grass. So Narada Muni had named her this to remind the person who he is speaking to, Pachini Barishad, of his own situation. Darbha means kusha grass. And Pachini Barishad was performing so many karmakandiya sacrifices that there was kusha grass strewn everywhere. In fruit of activities or karmakandiya ceremonies, one requires kusha grass. So he was Narada was reminding Pachini Barishad, be careful about your attachment to kusha grass. Does everyone know what grass is kusha grass? You see that on the roads of Vrindavan. Long, pointing up, with bristles at the end, sort of at particular times of the year. So in fruit of activities, because Pachini Barishad was very fond of fruit of activities, in those ceremonies, karmakandiya ceremonies, one requires kusha grass. Thus Vidharvi refers to one who takes birth in a family of karmakandiya understanding. However, if by karmakanda activities one by chance comes in contact with a devotee, as Vidharvi did when she married Malayadwaj, his life becomes successful. He then pursues devotional service of the Lord. The conditioned soul becomes liberated simply by following the instructions of a bona fide spiritual master. So this is the history of how Vidharvi actually becomes attached to Krishna. It is due to the association of her spiritual master, and then by that association, who happens to be her husband, by that association performs the practices of bhakti yoga. Seven on the Vaidhi side, Prabhupada explained, and two, Sakyam and Atmanivedanam, a full giving of the self to Krishna on the Rag side. So the process of gaining attachment to Krishna is being described here. And then when Malayadwaj died, or he didn't die certainly. He gave up this body and went to his relationship with Krishna. Then Vidharvi was about to put herself on the funeral pyre, and then someone came. And in the story, this unknown Brahmana was the super soul. And he began to speak. And this is text 52. The Brahmana inquired as follows. Who are you? Whose wife or daughter are you? Who is the man lying here? It appears you are lamenting for this dead body. Don't you recognize me? I am your eternal friend. You may remember that many times in the past you have consulted me. So here, the super soul is coming alive and is instructing after the disappearance of her spiritual master, the soul's spiritual master. We'll read from Prabhupada's purport, just very close to the beginning of the purport. One who is sincere and pure, sincerity is all we need, practically speaking. Sincerity is our Krishna consciousness. Insincerity is Maya. Sincerity, wanting to engage in Krishna's service, is our constitutional position, and that is sincerity. So one who is sincere and pure, because one could be sincere and not yet pure or less pure, but one who is pure and sincere gets an opportunity to consult with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his Paramatma feature, sitting within everyone's heart. So this first part of the section we shall read today is about the realization that Malaya Dwaj had about his relationship with the Super Soul. Who is the Super Soul? First fact, he is in everyone's heart, and he is Paramatma, superior soul. We are souls, but we are Jiva Atma, and he is Parama Atma, the supreme soul. So the Paramatma, he is in everyone's heart. The Paramatma is always the Chaitya Guru, the spiritual master within. And he comes before one externally as the instructor and initiating spiritual masters. That means the Shiksha Guru and Diksha Guru. The Lord can reside within the heart, and he can also come out before a person and give him instructions. Thus, the spiritual master is not different from the super soul sitting within the heart. An uncontaminated soul or living entity can get a chance to meet the Paramatma face to face, just as one gets a chance to consult with the Paramatma within his heart. One also gets a chance to see him actually situated before him. That's called Shakshat Darshan. Then one can take instructions from the super soul directly. This is the duty of the pure devotee, to see the bona fide spiritual master and consult with the super soul within his heart. When the Brahmana asked the woman who the man lying on the floor was, she answered that he was her spiritual master and that she was perplexed about what to do in his absence. At such a time, the super soul immediately appears, provided the devotee is purified in heart by following the directions of the spiritual master, because the mind is very tricky. It is very devious. Bandhuratmatmanas taiva yenat maivatmanajitaha anatmanas tu shatruve varte tatmava shatruvat. For one who has conquered the mind is the best friend. But for one who has failed to do so, one who is impure, the mind is an enemy, because it's whispering so many things in the ear that are incorrect, that are meant for the doom of the living entity. So if one is pure, he can hear. That means the passion and ignorance, the modes of passion and ignorance are very reduced in the heart, in the consciousness. And then he could hear the super soul very clearly and loudly. And He has his spiritual master externally, outside of him, and the super soul inside. And one should always check when we hear some instruction inside, our conscience is speaking to us, or we get some inspiration. We should always check this, because the mind, again, is very tricky. So we should check this, one's realizations, one's ideas, and thoughts how to proceed, with what? Shastra, and guru, and sadhu, making sure that they are saying the same thing. But Prabhupada says very clearly here, a sincere devotee is always helped directly or indirectly by the spiritual master and the super soul. They are the same, because one spiritual master is carrying the message of Krishna. He's representative of Krishna. He's not independent. He is duty-bound to instruct as per Krishna's desire and his spiritual master's desire. Not independent, not whimsically. Outside, he takes instruction from his spiritual master. See him, meaning to hear from him. And inside, he gets instruction from the super soul. So both. When we're not pure, our instruction must come from outside. Otherwise, when we try to hear the super soul, we will just get our mind. So who will say, I'm pure enough, I don't need to consult with my spiritual master or Shastra? No one will speak like this who's sincere. So when one gets an inspiration, one checks that. Sanatana Goswami, when he asked Mahaprabhu, who am I? And why are these miseries afflicting me? Mahaprabhu's answer was what? The first part of his answer was, you know the answers to these questions, but it is the nature of a sadhu to ask authorities to confirm his own realizations. So that is very important to do. Okay, text 53. So both the spiritual master and the super soul instruct one. So this was Malayadwaj's realization. He was receiving instructions directly from the super soul. So how can we do that? We have to be very pure and sincere, as Prabhupada explained in his purport. The Brahmana in text 53 continues. He says, my dear friend, even though you cannot immediately recognize me, can't you remember that in the past you had a very intimate friend? Unfortunately, you gave up my company and accepted a position as enjoyer of this material world. This is Krishna Bhule Sejeev, for turning our back or forgetting Krishna. The jiva soul takes shelter of the material world in the mood of I am the enjoyer. It is a demonic mood. Actually, it is demonic, that the world is meant for my enjoyment. So if we wish to be the center of the universe, we have to give up the shelter of the actual center of the universe, Krishna. We cannot do both. Therefore, a prerequisite for pure devotional service is humility. We have to understand our actual position of insignificance. And this is very difficult for a conditioned soul to do because by the nature of false ego, we want to feel very, very big. That is what the false ego makes us do. And not only are we actually insignificant, but we're also dependent, fully dependent on Krishna. This is the last thing the jiva soul wants to experience in the material world, that he's dependent. Rather, He's trying to be independent, and therefore he's always trying to accumulate more and more. What is the source? To be independent, you need power. Because independent means no one's controlling you. You're out of everyone's control, you're independent. So what is the source of power in the material world more than anything else? Money, yes. And that is Krishna's Shakti, actually. So therefore everyone in the world is trying to accumulate more and more money, because money means power. And that's why people, because say, how much money can a person actually spend for his sense gratification a day or a week or a month? There's a limit, because we have only one stomach, and we can only take up so much room when we go to sleep, and there's only 24 hours a day. There's a limit. But people's thirst for money is unlimited, because it's a thirst ultimately for power. Power. And therefore, one who is a devotee, he gives up this thirst for power and instead has a thirst for service. Yes, the exact opposite. Instead of a dependent servant. We read Bhaktivinoda Thakur's songs of Sharanagati to get this mood. Just the opposite. To become a servant is the aspiration. Not only a servant, but a servant of the servant. Mahaprabhu taught this. Naham vipro na tinadapati na bivaisana sudro naham vani na chagriyapati na vinishtirtirva kintu prajan nikala paramananda pura britabde gopi bharta para kamalayo dasa dasana das. This is the aspiration of a pure soul who doesn't want to forget Krishna. He wants to remember Krishna. He doesn't want to turn his back on Krishna. He wants to remember Krishna. He doesn't want to be the enjoyer of the world. He wants to be a servant of the servant of the servants of Krishna. We'll read from Prabhupada's purport. So he's saying, can't you remember me? This is your actual position, serving me. Not making this false, miserable attempt to overlord the material world. That is not who you are. You're out of your position, like a fish out of water. No wonder you're uncomfortable continuously. We'll read about it's about a quarter of, less than a quarter of the way down Prabhupada's purport. When the living entity desire to enjoy themselves, they develop a consciousness of duality and come to hate the service of the Lord. In this way, the living entities fall into the material world, hating the service of the Lord and hating anyone's service. And yet, what does every living entity in the material world have to do continuously? Is serve. Unavoidably and continuously. And then the quotation from Prema Vavarta. Krishna bahi mukh haya bhogavanshakari nikatesta maya thari japatiya dhari. The natural position of the living entity is to serve the Lord in a transcendental loving attitude, not forced servitorship, but loving service. Natural, that's the natural consciousness, and that's what everyone is longing for. When the living entity wants to become Krishna himself, or imitate Krishna, he falls down into the material world. Since Krishna is the Supreme Father, his affection for the living entity is eternal. When the living entity falls down into the material world, the Supreme Lord, through his saṅkṣa expansion, his own part, sva-aṅkṣa, the Paramatma, keeps company with the living entity. In this way, the living entity may someday return home back to Godhead. Tell me something you remember from that last paragraph. Anyone remember anything? Yes. And who is that? The super soul. And he stays with the living entity regardless of where the living entity goes. Say if the living entity is in the body of a king, the super soul stays with him. Okay. We would also stay with our friend if he was a king, acting as a king. But the living entity doesn't only act as a king. Sometimes he's acting as a pig and wallowing in the gutters, and still Krishna stays with him. Would you stay with your friend if he's doing that? Krishna refuses to leave the living entity. He stays with him. Therefore, he's Suridam Savabhutram. He's the dearmost friend of everyone. He stays with us. He will not let us go. We have turned our back on him, but he does not reciprocate equally and turn his back on us. He's such a dear friend. Why? Prabhupada explains it in the purport. Why? Yes. What's the verse? Bhagavad Gita. Aham bija pada pita. I am the seed-giving father. He places through his glands all the living entities within the womb of the Pradhan, the Mahatattva. So he is the father of everyone, and there is so much affection. If one is awake in his relationship with Krishna, he's not in anxiety in this world because he's with his Supreme, his Father, always. And when one's Father is all powerful, then what is there to be afraid of in this world? Nothing can happen without the approval of the Father. And why does he always stay with the living entity? Why does Krishna as the Paramatma stay? Compassion. Compassion? Towards what end? What purpose? Yes, he's waiting for us to turn to him. Now we've turned Krishna Bhuli Se Jeev Anadi Bahiyamukh. Bahiyamukh means, Mukh means facing. So Bahya and Bahyamukh means we turn our back on Krishna. So Krishna is with us waiting for us to turn to him. And as soon as we turn to him, if we are fully sincere and pure, then he will instruct us again. And that's also the Dami Buddhi Yogam Tam Yena Mamukhi Antite. He will give us the instructions by which we can come to him. But we can't turn to him and at the same time be turning away from him. Obviously, I can't be facing Murali Manohar and at the same time facing, who's up there? Prabhupada. At the same time, we can't be facing Krishna and what's on the other side? Maya. And what does Maya practically mean? Facing Krishna means wanting to serve Krishna. What does facing Maya mean? We were just explaining what facing Maya means. Yes, I am the center. I am the controller. Again, what an anxiety. If anyone thinks they're the center and the controller, their first project is going to be the traffic in Delhi. If you're the controller, organize it. Go ahead. Show your power. And then we'll give you the rest of UP to work on after you organize Delhi's traffic. No. But we can't be facing Maya or wishing to lord it over the material energy and at the same time wish to serve Krishna. So the tendency is for the turning to Krishna to be gradual, because we turn and then turn back a little bit and then to get attracted and turn this way, and And at the same time, Maya is kicking and kicking and pushing us further. And we try to enjoy and kick another kick. And gradually, gradually, until every last hint of desire to be the enjoyer, anarta, is removed from the heart. Fifty-four. My dear, gentle friend, both you and I are exactly like two swans. We live together in the same heart, which is just like the Manasa Lake. Although we have been living together for many thousands of years, we are still far away from our original home. So leaving Krishna consciousness, the living entity adopts an enjoying spirit, and his friend stays with him always. But yet, although the friend, really speaking, is in the spiritual world, due to the desires of the living entity and his consciousness, he is in the material world. So far from home, far from home, lonely, always lonely in the material world, not quite getting the nourishment we need in the material world, because we're looking in the wrong place, like that fish out of water. No matter what he has, it is unsatisfying to him until he is back in the water, his natural relationship with Krishna. 55. My dear friend, you are now my very same friend. Since you left me, you have become more and more materialistic, and not seeing me, you've been traveling in different forms throughout this material world, which was created by some woman, some prakriti, the prakriti, by who creates, who is the woman who creates the material world? Durga Devi. And Durga means what?
Fortress.
It's a fortress. You can't get out unless the king of the fortress enters and says you are free, or the agent of the king. Prabhupada's purport says, and if we think about the position, if we think about our desires that we have, and how they lead us from one body to the next, Prabhupada would say, especially in Hawaii, he would say, we saw them in the water, doing that, what is that again they were doing in the water? And someone would say, surfing, Prabhupada. And Prabhupada would say, I call it suffering. We knew what the word was, but he wanted someone to say surfing so he could say, I call it suffering. Because they don't know how dangerous it is, because how difficult it is, because there is an ecstasy of some sort. Catching those waves and riding, just being pushed around, pushed by the energy of the ocean. There's a surrender it takes. There's a kind of ecstasy, very temporary, but it's certainly wonderful. But what is the problem? You have to come out of the water. It's temporary. So if that's your desire to surf forever, continuously, never have to come out, have the best kind of body for riding those waves, how dangerous it is if that's your great attachment, because in your next life you can become a fish, dolphin, fish, porpoise, and you can just ride those waves and enjoy. Or if, for those of you who like to hang glide, has anyone ever gone hang gliding? Yes. Yes? Was it fun?
Too much
fun. What do you have to do?
Just put the weight on one side.
And there's no sound of an engine. It's really quiet and you're just gliding.
As it goes up.
And sometimes you get an updraft and you go up, exhilarating. It's flying. You watch the hawks in Vrindavan. I used to do that from the top of the Gurukula building. They just go up very high, and without exerting any energy, they don't have to flap like the pigeons and the crows, but they're above it all. And all you see them doing is their wings outstretched, and they just move their tail feathers. The back feathers like this and like this. Huh?
Balance
so they can balance and to go up and glide around. So that's superior form of hang gliding. So if you like that, how long is the longest you stayed up and when you're hang gliding?
5 hours.
Wow.
Almost bird.
Almost bird. And what did you feel like when you came down?
Very cold.
Very cold. You maybe need some feathers to keep you warm, perhaps. Would that be helpful? Didn't want to go down. Well, that's the point. You don't want to come down. You don't want to come out of the water. So there's a next birth awaiting, not you personally, but those who love that. And where was this? In Switzerland, of course. And then so much contraption. But just imagine if you could do it without the machine. That's a bird. So how the desires that we have, by turning away from Krishna, one desire after another, Brahmanda Brahmate Konya Bhagyavan Jeev, or Brahmanda Brahmate, they lead us from one birth to another in the material world. How about Lord Brahma? He's incredibly pious. Incredibly pious, because he's such a responsible position. Incredibly intelligent, but there's some desire to control, unless he's a pure devotee. Do we want to be Lord Brahma? How about Lord Indra, with all those eyes? What do we want? So we have the desire to increase, even though we have material desires, we may have material desires, we don't want to cultivate the material desires. Whatever we put our mind on, that will increase. Those desires will increase. And if we put our mind, and therefore the best cure for material desires is neglect. And plus the higher tastes. But we neglect the material desires and they die of starvation, lack of attention. That is the hope. So, Brahmanda Brahmate, Konya Bhagavan Jeev, Guru Krishna Pasare Vai, wandering. If one is fortunate, by the mercy of Krishna, one gets the Bhakti Lata Bij, the seed of devotion. The living entity, Prabhupada explains, or the translating the verse here, wanders into many species of life, but he is fortunate when he once again meets his friend, either in person or through his representative. So who is his friend? The Super Soul. And who is the representative of the Super Soul? Spiritual Master. Sri Guru. Actually, it is Krishna who personally advises all living entities to return back home, back to Godhead. Sometimes Krishna sends his representative, who, delivering Krishna's very message, canvasses all living entities to return back home, back to Godhead. Unfortunately, the living entity is so greatly attached to material enjoyment that he does not take the instructions of Krishna or his representative very seriously. This material tendency is mentioned in this verse as gramya mati, sense gratification. The word mahim means within this material world. All living entities within this material world are sensually inclined. Consequently, they become entangled in different types of bodies and suffer the pangs of material existence. What is pangs? Interesting English word. Suffer the pangs of material existence.
Pains.
Being gripped by them. In that city, now after describing about the super soul and Krishna's desire and his identity and how he has never left him, left Vaidarbha, either as Paranjana or Vaidarbha, now he's got, because the Dami Buddhi Yogam Tam, he gives knowledge. So Vasyat Chaham Riti Sanavisto Mata Smittam Gyanam Aponam Cha. The super soul gives knowledge. So now he's going to explain the elements of the analogy, the metaphor, the allegory of the story. And we've heard, because Prabhupada has put these in the purports, so we've heard a lot of this already, but let us read it. In that city, the material body, that's the city, there are 5 gardens, 9 gates, 1 protector, 3 apartments, 6 families, 5 stores, 5 material elements, and 1 woman who is lord of the house. My dear friend, the 5 gardens are the 5 objects of sense enjoyment. That's the objects of the senses. What is that called? Tanmatra. And the protector is the life air, which passes through the 9 gates. The 3 apartments are the chief ingredients, fire, water, and earth. The 6 families are the aggregate total of the mind and 5 senses. The 5 stores are the 5 working sensory organs. They transact their business through the combined force of the 5 elements, which are eternal. Behind all this activity is the soul. The soul is a person and an enjoyer in reality. However, because he's now hidden within the city of the body, he is devoid of knowledge. Just like if there's one person, what is the biggest city that you've ever seen? Moscow. How many millions of people? 15 million people. So one person is in Moscow. It's so hard to see him, that specific one person. That's like it's so hard to see, it's so hard to find him and see him. Similarly, it's so hard to find the soul, the living entity, because he's hidden within the body. And especially when this soul doesn't want to come out of the city. This person doesn't want to come out of the city. He likes it. He has so many plans to enjoy in the city. It's so hard to make him realize that he doesn't belong there. It's so polluted, so many problems. Get out. Go to your real life. But so much attachment to the city of the body. 59. My dear friend, when you enter such a body along with the woman of material desires, you become overly absorbed in sense enjoyment. We heard this in the beginning of the story of Paranjana, that material intelligence that fixes our plans for enjoyment is Paranjani, the queen. And because of this, you have forgotten your spiritual life. Why? Because of what? Without looking. Because of what we have forgotten our spiritual life? Huh? Yes, but okay, look. What does it say? It says directly, because overly absorbed in sense enjoyment. This is the business of the mind, continuously and only. And then the intelligence, the mind's function is accepting and rejecting, sankalpa vikalpa. And it holds on to something. It wants something. It holds on to a concept. It accepts it. And then, I want this. And then, the material intelligence's job is to make the plan how to get it. Have any of you ever had the experience of the mind becomes very attached to something, and then one example is when you get that thing, you have no attachment for it all. It doesn't fulfill you at all, even though I want it. Have you ever had that experience?
Yes.
And that's advertising's business, is to make us do that so that it can take our money. And sometimes you want something, and then in 1 minute or in 1 second, You can hate that very same thing that one second before you wanted so much. And then actually hatred comes into the mind. So therefore, the mind cannot be trusted if it is not pure, because it can attach itself to something that is poison, and then it can it can have a complete aversion. So therefore, in the end of the 7th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Icha Dvesha Samutena Dvanva, I want, I don't want, the function of the mind. This is the duality that bewilders everyone. This creates the prison of the material world. The materialistic mind saying, I want, I want. And then what happens when the mind is like a little 2-year-old? And when the two-year-old says, I want. And if you ever have the misfortune of going shopping in supermarkets in the West, you always see some poor lady wheeling around some child in a supermarket or a department store, and the child is just seeing all these objects of sense gratification, and it's just, I want, I want. And I don't think any parent of a 2-year-old or a 4-year-old or an 8-year-old, practically speaking, can escape from going into a big mall without spending money on their child. Because the child is one big mind at that age. No intelligence, just mind. And all it knows is, I want. And then it attaches to something. And then the battle of wills begins. And the mother says, no. And what does the child do? Cry. And why? What's the politics of the crying child in the mall?
Advice to leave
it
quiet.
Huh? And what happens if you don't buy him what he wants? What's the deep politics of this? I'm gonna make so much noise, and then what's gonna happen? Huh? Now what's going to happen? Like, it's one thing if you're in your house and I make this noise. Yes, because I'm going to start crying and throwing, kicking and throwing a tantrum and screaming so loudly. And you're going to be so embarrassed that everyone's going to think you're the worst mother in the entire world. What are you doing to this poor innocent child? This is politics, straight politics. And in a simple way, this is just what the child knows, just what he's doing, he, she's doing. And it's just one mind. So therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written, and Raghunath Das Goswami and Narottama Das Thakur have written, my dear mind, please stop. Why don't you just become attached to Krishna? If you become attached to Krishna, and if you don't have Krishna, you'll throw a tantrum and cry and cry and cry and cry and cry until you get Krishna. You'll be in Goloka Vrindavan very quickly. So why not do that? But instead, dushtamana, you wicked mind, you want to bathe yourself and myself in donkey urine of your material desires. Raghunath Das Goswami, why do you want to burn yourself and myself by taking such a horrendous bath? Don't do this, my dear mind, please. My dear friend, when you enter such a body along with the woman of material desires, you become overly absorbed in sense enjoyment, and because of this, you have forgotten your spiritual life. Due to your material conceptions, you are placed in various miserable conditions, one life after the life. And what's the material conception? I'm my body, and everything is meant for my pleasure. And if I have this, I'll be happy. And if I have that, I'll be happy. And if I don't ever see that again, I'll be happy. Actually, text 60, you are not the daughter of Vidarbha. Nor is this man, Malayadwaj, your well-wishing husband. Nor were you the actual husband of Paranjali. You were simply captivated in this body of nine gates. Just imagine if we just woke up and understood that we were... Think of five problems that you have. And if you are an eternal soul in your relationship with Krishna, how many of those problems would still exist? I didn't give you time to actually think about your problems, but no, they all have to do with our identification with the body, generally, unless they're service-related. But the miseries we suffer in that are usually miseries of the body and mind. So you are simply captivated in the body of nine gates. We'll read from Prabhupada's purport about... it's just a few sentences down from the beginning. Actually, Prabhupada says, every living entity is part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But the living entities are overly engrossed in the material body. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, appears and gives instructions in the form of Bhagavad Gita and Vedic literature. The Supreme Lord gives these instructions because He's the eternal friend of the living entity. His instructions are important because by them the living entity can obtain liberation from bodily engagement. As water passes down a river, many straws and grasses are carried from the shore. These straws and grasses come together in the river's current, but when the waves toss this way and that, they are separated and carried somewhere else. Sometimes the waves bring them together and they form friendships and relate to one another on a bodily basis of family, community, or nationality. Eventually, they are thrown out of association by the waves of material nature. This process has been going on since the creation of material nature. In other words, there are forces that bring living entities together, and those same forces, especially time, separates them. And it is out of one's control. It is out of our control. So if every time we're brought together we get happy, that bringing together is out of our control. And if every time there is separation, we become miserable, then that is also out of our control. So just by the force of our karma, pushed by time, misery, happiness, misery, happiness, misery, happiness, misery, happiness. This is because of the mind's attachment to being the controller and the enjoyer. And if the mind was simply attached to Krishna, then what? What would happen if the mind, if one's mind was just simply attached to Krishna?
Peaceful.
Peaceful. What else?
Suffering.
Huh? No more suffering. What else?
Ecstasy.
Huh?
Ecstasy.
Ecstasy. What else? I'm not thinking of anything in particular, by the way. But think of what would happen. Gratefulness. No illusion. That's reality.
Understanding.
Feel so secure and safe because you'd be always with Krishna, the Supreme, who loves you. Because, why?
He's
the father of everyone. It's natural. Prabhupada is just so unsentimental here. He says, the only actual well-wisher is Krishna himself. As Krishna confirms in the Bhagavad Gita, Suridam Savabhutanam, society, friendship, love, and well-wishers are all simply results of being packed in different bodies. You ever have the experience of you go on a, especially it happens on Indian trains, you go on a train and you meet someone and you talk, and you become very close on a certain level, then when the ride's over, you just go your different ways and never see each other again. So he's saying this. The Brahman is preaching, the Super Soul is saying that you actually have no relationship, bodily relationships in this way. Your relationship is eternal and with Krishna. Sometimes you think yourself a man, sometimes a chaste woman, and sometimes a neutral eunuch. This is all because of the body which is created by the illusory energy. This illusory energy is my potency. And actually, both of us, you and I, are pure spiritual identities. Now just try and understand this. I'm trying to explain our factual position. My dear friend, I, the super soul, and you, the individual soul, are not different in quality, but we are both spiritual. In fact, my dear friend, you are qualitatively not different from me in your constitutional position. Just like the sun rays are not different from the sun itself. Just try to consider this subject. Those who are actually advanced scholars who are in knowledge do not find any qualitative difference between you and me. As a person sees, now here's he's going to give an example to show the oneness of the living entity and the soul. Listen to this carefully. I'm going to ask you to explain it. As a person sees the reflection of his body in a mirror to be one with himself, yes? And not different from himself. Whereas others actually see two bodies, so in our material condition in which the living being is affected and yet not affected, we're affected by the material condition, and not affected. And what was that comment that I think it was Jiva, Sri Jiva or Vishwanath made on one of Sanat Kumar's prayers, that the relationship between the material energy and the Jiva is Yadricha, something inconceivable. So he's simultaneously affected and unaffected. We have nothing to do with the material body, but we certainly seem to have a lot to do with the material body. Simultaneously we do and we don't, affected and unaffected. So similarly, in our material condition, there's a difference between God and the living entity. So what is the meaning of this? I ended up talking in the middle of it, so it probably made it hard to exactly follow it. But what does this mean? The first part is easy. And then what's the parallel?
A mirror.
We look in a mirror.
We have two options. We consider that there is only one and the same person.
No, what does the verse say? When we look in the mirror, we naturally see this is me. We don't see there's two. Right? We don't see there's two people, me and the mirror image. But another person looking, he sees two. So similarly, which is it actually? Is it one or two when we look in the mirror? Whoops. It's only one. It's only one. So similarly, the point is that we are not different from Krishna, even though when one is far away, just like if there was a big mirror here, and I was standing over there, and someone was standing over there by the cows, and they would look in the distance and they'd see the big mirror and me, and they'd see my reflection and they'd think there were two people, but actually there's only one person. And reflected. So similarly, when we are reflected in the material energy, we see a difference between ourselves and Krishna. This is the point. But actually, there is no difference in quality. Because we, again, the same point that we cannot be separate from Krishna. It is impossible. He is the absolute truth. We are his part and parcel. We are his energy. We are his energy. The energy is none different from the energetic, the source of the energy. Although there is a difference. So this is the meaning. So he's giving this example to show the living entity's relationship with Krishna. And then text 64. In this way, because he had spoken about the two swans living in the Manasa lake of the heart, in this way both swans live together in the heart. No difference, but yet a difference between the living entity and the super soul, but the difference is not in quality, it is in quantity. He is Vibhu, we are Anu. He cannot fall down. He is Ajita, we can fall down. He is Achyuta and Ajita, unconquerable by the material energy and cannot fall down. And we are tiny and insignificant, and the material energy overpowers us as soon as this desire to be the enjoyer enters the heart. So in this way, both swans live in the heart. When the one swan is instructed by the other, oh, that's a very good idea. I was waiting for Krishna to take my instructions. And here's my order. This is what I want. Krishna, you're all powerful, so you're the best friend, my best friend. The best friend's position is to fulfill the desires of his poor friend. So, but of course that's not what it is. When one swan is instructed by the other, when we take instructions from Krishna, the little takes instructions from the big, he is situated in his constitutional position. This means he regains his original Krishna consciousness, which was lost because of his material attraction. We'll read from Prabhupada's purport. Here it is clearly stated, Ham soham sena pratibodhitaha. The individual soul and the supersoul are both compared to swans, hansa, because they are white or uncontaminated. One swan, however, is superior and the instructor of the other. When the inferior swan is separated from the other swans, he is attracted to material enjoyment. This is the cause of his fall down. When he hears the instructions of the other swan, he understands his real position and is again revived to his original consciousness. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna comes down, avatar, to deliver his devotees and to kill the demons. He also gives his sublime instructions in the form of the Bhagavad Gita. What other way does Krishna give instructions? From the heart, another way. Spiritual master. What other way?
Shastra.
Which Shastra? Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. Sadhus, I was also thinking not only Bhagavad Gita but Uddhava Gita. Krishna is instructing Uddhav. So many ways, this is Krishna's compassion. And he comes down many, many times as Leela avatars, as Purusha avatars, Guna avatars. In this way, this is Krishna's kindness. And he comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to give us the holy name himself. The individual soul has to understand his position by the grace of the Lord and the spiritual master. Because the text of Bhagavad Gita cannot be understood simply by academic qualification. One has to learn Bhagavad Gita from a realized soul. So this was the point, practically speaking, Prabhupada is making it again, that came up just before, that Paranjani, Vidarbhi, got changed from her karma kandi consciousness to bhakti consciousness by the association and mercy of spiritual master, husband Malaya Dwaj. Tadbiri Pratipatena Pariprasnina Sivya. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth. Thus one has to select a bona fide spiritual master and become enlightened to his original consciousness. In this way, the individual soul can understand that he is always subordinate to the super soul. As soon as he declines to remain subordinate and tries to become an enjoyer, he begins his material conditioning. When he abandons this spirit of being an individual owner or enjoyer, he becomes situated in his liberated state. The word svastha means situated in one's original position. Is very significant in this verse. When one gives up his unwanted attitude of superiority, he becomes situated in his original position. He becomes humble. The word tadvyavacharena is also significant, for it indicates that when one is separated from God due to disobedience, his real sense is lost. Again, by the grace of Krishna and Guru, he can be properly situated in his liberated position. These verses are spoken by Sri Narada Muni, and his purpose in speaking them is to revive our consciousness. And then the final text in this chapter, and we'll read the short purport. My dear King Prichini Barhi, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the cause of all causes, is celebrated to be known indirectly. Thus, I have described the story of Paranjan to you. Actually, it is an instruction for self-realization. So indirectly, there's one verse in the 11th canto that I do not know, but it describes that Krishna likes Parokshavada something. Krishna likes when the truth is spoken indirectly. And the Vedas speak this truth indirectly. So here, the truth has been spoken, but through allegory, it has been spoken indirectly. And Prabhupada's short purport. There are many similar stories in the Puranas for self-realization. As stated in the Vedas, Parokshapriya Ivahi Deva, there are many stories in the Puranas that are intended to interest ordinary men in transcendental subjects. But actually, these refer to real facts. They are not to be considered stories without a transcendental purpose. Some of them refer to real historical facts, and one should be interested, however, in the real purport of the story, not just in the stories themselves. One should know why the stories are being spoken. Factually, indirect instruction is quickly understandable for a common man. Factually, the path of bhakti yoga is the path of hearing directly about the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. But those who are not interested in hearing directly about the activities of the Lord, who cannot understand them, can very effectively hear such stories and fables as this one narrated by Narada Muni. So that is the end of chapter 28. If Krishna willing, tomorrow we shall begin 29. Thank you very much. Questions, comments? Yes?
Question about the example of the training.
About the training.
And how in this world to have attraction for relating, to have relationship with some people and not right. With other people.
Yes.
And where is this coming from? Previous life or
the modes of material nature, our attractions, specific attraction and repulsions depend on our body and mind. Just like you don't want to associate with the same things that the pigs of Vrindavan find attractive. This is due to the body, which is a combination of the modes of material nature. It's just one on the spiritual platform sees the soul. He is neither attracted nor repulsed by things on the bodily level. He sees things as they are. Therefore, Pandita Samadarshana, Vidyavinaya Sambhaneya, Brahmanita Vihasta. It's the modes. When you see someone from your own country, immediately there's an attraction. It's the body, the modes. Even if it's if you saw that person in your own country, you may not like him. But when you see him in a foreign country, then immediately there is an attraction and some feeling of comradeship. Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Yes. And what? Sense gratification and?
Absorbed and forgetful.
And forgetful of, yes. It's Kali Yuga has to come. There's a natural cycle. And as, because in the material world there's a tendency to go downward. Because the very nature of the material world. So as soon as there's some sin, the sinning cycle increases. So in the first age in Satyayuga there's one quarter. And then Treta Yuga, half more sinful, and people's miseries increase, and their happiness goes down. So it has to happen because of the cycle of increasing sin. It has to happen. So Kali Yuga has to come, and Kali has to come.
Where does the person Kali come into the picture?
On a different platform than the earthly platform, on a different plane of existence.
Which is now.
There's a person behind everything. So he's trying to increase the influence of this sinful age.
Which is already defeated, his mind is already now.
But it can increase, it can decrease. And he's working to make it increase. And therefore, sometimes we say, oh, this person's an agent of Kali. Kali specifically means quarrel also. I mean, this is my understanding, the simple understanding. It's true, and from the other one, it's because of our mentality. But how does he affect us? He affects us by giving us the material desires. So if we have knowledge, what to speak of devotion, and we just say no, I'm going to call on Krishna. Every time I may have a material desire, due to the influence of my karma, being born in the age of Kali. But I'm not going to follow this tendency. I'm going to take shelter of Krishna. There is freedom. We have freedom. But he organizes it. So, see, we're very, very tiny. So he's working for, it seems to me, he's working for the material energy. Something. I don't. It's just one of the things of this world that are hard to understand. You want to understand the enemy's plan, huh? So you can attack him.
No, I just. There is a concept which comes up sometimes. The word is being that so it's a Kali. But I, for myself, I think it's us. Mega Kulpa.
But we're but we're under the influence of Kali. We can't fight Kali directly. Not I can't. We can chant Hare Krishna. Krishna can. Krishna's holy names can. Does anyone else have any realizations on this? A drama.
A drama where in India there's a discussion.
No, there's a book. Prabhupada was a famous book. Some chapters here.
So it looks like there's some drama behind it. The person he has.
What's in the Bhagavatam?
That's going to the Bhagavatam?
No, but the Kali's existence is described in the Bhagavatam, first canto, yes?
Yeah.
Maybe I'm not understanding what you mean.
Well, isn't there within the Vishkan Hayagriva one?
Yeah.
Drama?
Not Hayagriva, Prabhupada was relating to him. It's mostly the life of Lord Chaitanya. But the beginning, Kali's afraid because Lord Chaitanya is coming. It's going to ruin all his fun.
And this is the usual one that we just
It's no, not a Shastra. It's a play, a drama written by someone. But it's based on Shastras. It's mostly the life of Lord Chaitanya, that drama. Based on Chaitanya Bhagavat, basically. But it's a drama written by a Bengali playwright. Okay, yes, your insight into this. Yes. Living entities within material bodies seeking to enjoy. The second half of the story is the positive side. But he's speaking from the point of view of the parallel and the analogy. But seeing the story of Paranjana and seeing the story of his next birth as Vaidarbhi, a living entity such as Pachini Barhishat, who's hearing it, or such as us, should understand that we should become detached from the bodily concept of life, because look what's going to happen. It's inevitable. And we should develop our attachment to Krishna by first accepting the shelter of a spiritual master, great devotee spiritual master, and then following the processes of bhakti, the seven angas of vidhi bhakti, and then ultimately, hopefully, the two of raga marg. And then we should become so awake in our relationship with Krishna, so pure, that we'll be able to directly hear, become a great devotee, directly hear his desire. We should become one with him in desire. That's clearly what the story is saying. Not that we have... Okay, you've added something that's sweet and cute, that Paranjana within us has to die, and we have to become... And a disciple has to take birth. So we're not talking about literally, we're talking about a mentality. Yes? Thank you. Yes, last question.
This one question is a comment.
Comment, yes, Paul.
Is there the serving?
Yes, nice.
You give up the male and the...
Purusha bhav. And Prakriti is meant to be served and be enjoyed. Yes. Nice, thank you. Srimad Bhagavatam Gide, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Thank you.